Tonight, the sermon title when he come tonight will be "What'd You Expect in a War?" And so hope you can come back for that. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll be reading out of. You can read along if you'd like. Listen along. Let me let you stand for a second. I've been sitting for a while during the thing for Israel. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to start at verse 3 and read through verse 7 because of time. And it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Let's go ahead and let's keep reading. "And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man think himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." Let's pray. I want to talk about winning the war. Father, thank you for the chance to preach the Word of God. I pray today you'd help us, Lord. We thank you for the chance to sing and fellowship. Thank you for the sweet spirit people have here. And I just pray you'd speak to us now in a mighty way, Lord. I pray that the Word of God would be powerful. The Bible, we're so honored that we have the Word of God. I pray you'd be fed from it today, Lord, and you speak to us and help us as we fight in this war. I pray you'd help us to fight and win the victory. Show us what your word says in these things and help us to be ready and able and good soldiers of the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. He said, you know, we walk in the flesh. We understand we're in physical bodies, but we do not war in the flesh, he says. Verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." So we're walking in the body, you get around in your car, you live in the physical body. But it says, we in our war is not in the flesh. It's fascinating, the Bible refers to so often the Christian life as warfare. As war. Not, we are on a walk in a park. Not, we're having fun on vacation. Not, we're on a beautiful drive or a beautiful boat ride. It says you're in a war. And he says, in this war, we walk in our physical bodies. We do not fight in our physical bodies. Isn't that good? Because not all of us have the physical ability to fight in a war. But you know what? You can be a mighty, as a matter of fact, many of the most mighty warriors ever met are people who don't have physical health. It's an amazing thing. I've seen sometimes, and I think in eternity we'll see why it was. I've seen many times someone have physical problems and become great prayer warriors. And I feel for them, and I'm sorry for them. But in heaven, they're going to get great rewards for that suffering and to make them praying. Healthy people don't always pray well. They're too busy running around to take the time to do that. And it says, we live in the flesh, we walk in the flesh. We do not war in the flesh. I want you to notice that Paul said we're in a war. God said we are in a war. That's how the Bible refers to the Christian life. I want you to get that mindset. I want you to think that way. Because if you do not think that way, if you're in a war and do not know you're in a war, things don't go well for you. Because the other side is at war whether you're at war or not. That's the thing you have to understand. In the great tragedy of the Holocaust, as you look at that thing in history, the world didn't know the Holocaust was going on. But they didn't know that until they started getting to the concentration camps. Then they saw what was happening. What would happen is they would take the Jews and put them on a train and say, "We're going to take you away and we're going to put you to work camp." First, they just said, "Let us take your elderly away." And they didn't know that they would get to the camp. And they would just see a big smokestack. They didn't know that was for them. And they would willingly get on the trains. They'd willingly unload on the train. I mean, not willingly, they were forced, but they walked onto the train. They walked off the train. They walked into the camp. They walked in two rooms. If they would have known that they were being annihilated, they would have tried something. They were just led there by people who were trying to kill them, and they weren't trying to kill the other people. They didn't know the enemy was, they didn't know the Germans were trying to kill them. The Nazis were killing them. And so they were killed by the millions because they weren't defending themselves. They weren't fighting. They were just walking and being led to the slaughter. Many Christians, the devil is just seeking to kill and destroy and ruin lives, and they are not fighting in a war. They're walking to the slaughter. You're in a war just as real as World War II. You're in a war. It is not a physical war. It's a war that's spiritual. We'll talk about that. But understand, you're in a war. The enemy's shooting at you. The enemy is battling. I was in the apartments just right over here, two apartments down. I was in there one day, multiple times. It used to be very, very bad. I've had this happen a bunch of times in Chicago when I was there. I was in a doorway at somebody's door, and I started walking out. And as I was walking on the stairs, I started hearing bullets shoot. Boom, 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 boom. Well, that wasn't my battle. And I had somebody with me, and they freaked out and said, come on. We just walked back up to the door. I said, we'll go ahead and let those guys shoot it out. We'll stay out of the way. I've been around enough when innocent bystanders in Chicago with the drive-by shootings got shot, and it's not my war. But understand, this spiritual war is my war. I can't just hide. The enemy's going to come hunting me. He's going to come hunting me and come after me. It's not something I can just step out and say, okay, I don't want to be involved in that. You're in it. And the enemy's shooting, and the Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You are in a war. It's a spiritual war. I just have a few points for this morning. We'll do some more tonight that are different. Number one, I want you to realize you have all the tools, and you should win. You have the weapons. You have the tools to win. Right here it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, verse 4, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The word carnal there means fleshly. That's where you get the word carnivore from in the Greek. And it's carnage, flesh. It is not, your weapons aren't physical weapons, but our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You can go and pull down strongholds and pull down the enemy's fortresses. They are mighty through God. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. To tell you you're in a war is not to discourage you, because you have the superior weapons. You have the better general. You are on the winning side who's going to win in the end, but you must realize you're in a war, and you've got to use your weapons. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says that we are the victors. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved him. I'm going quickly because of time, but 1 John. I want you to know you have weapons that are mighty weapons. You have a God who can give you the victory. You're in a war, but it should not be you're in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You can have the victory over the devil and his forces. You have better weapons. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You can be a victor. You can be an overcomer. If you realize you're in a war, realize you have the better weapons. I don't know if you remember, 92, the Iraq war, and the first time we're using our smart missiles. And those people in Iraq stood no chance. They didn't know that a laser was touching on them and that we could put a missile through a window. They didn't know that. They thought their tanks were dug in safely, sitting there in the sand. They didn't know we could see them at night. And you know what? You're sitting there with the weapons of God. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You have the sword of the Spirit. You and I have Almighty God helping us. We are more than conquerors in this war. Right. but many of us don't use our weapons. We'll get to that. I just want to say that you have all the tools you need, and you should win. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that is born of God? He that believes that Jesus the Christ, we can be overcomers. You're in a war, but you're on the winning side. I was delivering donuts one night, and I was in the middle of, I've told the story before, I was in one of the Dunkin' Donuts. There was a guy in there, and he had a pentagram on his necklace, and I said, what's that pentagram for? He says, I'm a Satanist. I said, okay. I said, can I ask you a question? I said, do you believe the Bible? He says, oh, yeah, we believe the Bible. He says, Satan knows the Bible better than you do. I said, oh, sure he does. I said, do you know what happens at the end if the Bible's true? He says, yes. He says, but you know what? We're going to win Armageddon. He says, we're going to kill God, and we're going to rule with Satan in this world forever. I said, well, if we could take up a bet right now, I'd be glad to bet you on that one. I said, man, you're on the losing side. Nothing's ever been wrong in the Bible before. It ain't going to be wrong there. You aren't going to nuke God. But they think they're going to win Armageddon. You know, we're on the winning side. You have God. You have all, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You say, oh, the evil is winning right now. Listen, God's going to win. We know the evil triumphs for a while. We know that in the end times, perilous times come. We understand all that. We understand the Antichrist comes into power. We understand the world system takes over. But we know who wins in the end. And we know personally you can overcome anything. And we know right now we get victory. We are more than conquerors to him that loved us. We're not trying to win a political battle here. It looks like in November nobody's winning. Can I tell you though? We can win today. You can have victory over sin. You can have victory over yourself. You can live for God. You can do great things. You can win souls to Christ. You can make a difference in the world. You can lift up fallen people. You can have victory in your life. You can be close to God. You can overcome your addictions. We are more than conquerors. The weapons that we have are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Realize, first of all, you have all the tools and you should win. You have a church you can go to that preaches the word of God. And that's part of the tools. There's many tools God gives us. Next. Realize that it is a war. I'm going to read John chapter 10. The devil is vicious. He does not let up. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The devil's going to shoot at you. He's going to try. And by the way, if you think, if I just give in and just quit serving God, the devil doesn't have the ability to be nice. Verse 10, it says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. Our memory verse this week is 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me turn there quickly. Again, you don't have to turn to all these. I'm going to go at my speed here because I'm in a hurry. In verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight a good fight. Fight a good fight. Can you imagine a powerful army that gets defeated because they don't shoot? Do you know that's happened in history many times? If you ever look, you'll find sometimes, like with Sergeant York or others, you find one guy taking hundreds of people captive sometimes. People who don't, it doesn't do you any good to have guns if you're not going to pull the trigger. It doesn't do you any good to have missiles if you're going to let them overrun your missile base. It doesn't do any good to have a powerful ship with powerful weapons if you're going to let the enemy have it. Some guy could fly the most advanced fighter if he freezes and says, I'm not going to push a button. If he doesn't want to fight, he doesn't win. Listen, anybody can win a battle if they're the only one shooting. If there is, it doesn't matter. You could shoot down with a biplane, you could shoot down a jet that doesn't shoot back at you, as long as it's in range. But if we'll fight, we can have the victory. You are in a war. The devil is trying to destroy you, your family. He's trying to ruin your life. He's trying to discourage you. You're in a war. You've got to fight. You cannot just lay around and say, I hope I'm a good Christian. It's a war. In a war, you don't lay around and say, I hope somebody doesn't shoot me. The casual Christian that we have today gets killed and is lukewarm and stays in defeat. Why? Because they don't fight. They don't fight. You say, oh, I'm just kind of busy. I don't really have time. I got a lot going on. Oh, I can't read a Bible. Go to church. Yeah, if I get a chance. You're fighting like that. And the devil is ferociously attacking you. Oh, casual Christianity won't do this. Realize that it is a war. Wars aren't easy. But you've got to fight the good fight of faith. That means you got to fight. Number three, realize what type of war it is. The weapons of warfare are not physical. They're not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of stronghold. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll spend a little more time there. Ephesians chapter 6. It's not casual. It's a war, but it's a type of war that's not physical. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You are wrestling against demons and devils. It is not people you're battling against. You say, no, this person's not a Christian, and they're mocking me. It's not them that's fighting against you. It's the demons that are behind them. You are not in a political battle. America will not be changed by politics. America will be changed by God and revival and prayer. It is not how talented we are. It is not a physical battle. You're fighting against the devil. You're fighting against demons. There's principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. When I came to this area, I did not know the darkness of this area. And there is spiritual darkness here. Right. We started the church in Des Moines. I did not know Des Moines was more dark. I didn't realize until later the church was surrounded everywhere around it by witches. All over around where that building is. And I'd run into them, door knock, and they'd cast spells on me, do all kinds of weird things, and it's darkness. I did not realize the spiritual war. I've been to different areas, different countries, and sometimes there's nothing, and sometimes you can feel the darkness. I've been in areas where voodoo witch doctors were coming by the dozens by, and all the darkness. Listen, there's spiritual wickedness in high places. I started having weird things happen to me here where all of a sudden, and multiple times in my life, where I was able to see into the spiritual realm a little bit and saw weird things, talking to a possessed person and watch their face contort into a different face and hear voices coming out of them that weren't theirs. And I said, whoa. Because just for a second, I've been able to just see a few times into the spiritual realm and said, that is freaky. But it's real. You just don't usually see it. You're not wrestling against physical things. You're wrestling against demons and darkness, and they're regional, and they have different areas. There's a Prince of Persia in Daniel 10, and there's angels, and there's a war going on in this very room right now. There's demons and devils trying to get you not to respond to the Word of God and get you to be distracted and get you to be angry and all those things that are... And there's angels and the Holy Spirit and Jesus is walking in our midst and all these things you cannot see. There's a whole unseen spiritual realm. Oftentimes, well, once every 2 years, I read again the book, This Present Darkness. It really does something for me to kind of see the spiritual war behind the scenes. And it's fiction, but it kind of gives you an idea of that there is a war going on. You are not, I want you to understand that, that person who's unsaved, it's not you're trying to reason with them. And that person who's fighting against you, it's not them you're fighting against. There's a war and demons trying to discourage you and trying to keep them from being saved and trying to get you to fall when you're around them. And it's all a spiritual war. It's what type of war it is. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 talks about the war against your soul. And this is just as real as a physical war. You just can't see it, but it's real. Now let me read you that verse. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says this: "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrim, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." The battle, more than anything else, is in the mind. Our text originally, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it's in your mind. We have this battle inside of our heads. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says this: "Casting down imaginations," again, this is our text, "the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." When you begin, the devil starts trying to make you think, oh, don't you hate that person? It starts to get you to think on bitter thoughts. When the devil makes you think you're hopeless, when the devil makes you think you can't do it, when the mind starts attacking you and you start thinking evil thoughts, and all these things that battle in your head, in your soul. That's where the war is. Can I tell you, if that's where the war is, you should not let the devil have ammo in your mind. You should not read things and watch things and get things in your mind that he can use. It's a mental war. It's a war of thinking. You're supposed to pull down all the evil thoughts and bring every thought into obedience. Why? Because this war is in your mind. The war is in the way we think. That's why we need our minds renewed. It's a battle in the mind. I've seen crazy things. I've felt crazy things. This war becomes so real to you after a while, and you can see it and imagine it. I want to say this. Paul said, verse 7, "Do you look on things after the outward appearance?" Don't see just people. See the war behind the scene. You see somebody and you say, man, why are they doing that? They know better. They're better than that. It's spiritual. Don't begin to despise and hate them. That means you need to pray for them. That means you need to be an example to them. That means you need to love them. That means you need to give them the word. That means you need to bring them to church. It is a war. Don't look on physical things. It's not about just the body. It's not just about the... Don't look on people. You know, when you see somebody who's mean and vicious, understand they're mean and vicious because they're wounded by somebody and the devil's been fighting them and Jesus is trying to reach them. And whosoever will may come, and there's a wonderful Christian inside them. If someone could win them to Christ, it's a spiritual war, not a physical war. You've got to pray for people. You've got to be using the sword of the Spirit. You've got to be walking in the Spirit. You have to be ready to fight. And you have to not look at things as just this person and that person and this. There's a spiritual war going on behind the scenes, and demons and angels and the Holy Spirit and Satan all fighting for souls and for you and battling for the souls of men for eternity. And it's not a physical war. There's a reason it's so hard to read your Bible. There's a reason it's so hard to go to church. There's a reason it's hard to pray. There's a reason as soon as you decide to do something good, all of a sudden the temptation comes. There's a reason you can't afford to miss church. There's a reason you need to be in God's house and hearing God's words preached. There's a reason you cannot miss prayer time. There's a reason you say, I need you, Lord, and praying, because you get weak and the devils stack up against you and you've given room to it and you brought evil things into your house. There's a reason in the Bible they burned all their things and idols and evil books. They have spirits with them. There's a reason you can't listen to evil music. Music attracts spirits, good or bad. You can get rid of demons by music, like David did with Saul. Listen, I know from how I grew up, I listened to the most demonic, evil music growing up when I wasn't a Christian, and I can tell you, it attracted demons. There's a reason you've got to pray for people. There's a reason you've got to be a prayer warrior again. We are so in trouble because we've lost our prayer warriors. And you don't have, you say, I don't have time to pray. You don't have time not to pray. You don't have, the people around you are fallen and being destroyed, and you don't have time to pray. It takes a lot longer to go visit them in jail. or go to the ICU unit, or to think about them being lost without Christ. You've got to walk in the Spirit. You're in a war. Next, take up your equipment, Ephesians chapter 6. Take up your equipment. The good thing is God gives us weapons. We've got our smart bombs, we've got all these things, and we've got great equipment. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. There will come a time when the devil really attacks you, like Jesus in the wilderness and other people in the Bible. The evil day will come, and you better have all of your equipment on, and having done all to stand, you better take unto the whole armor of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, honesty, having on the breastplate of righteousness, holy living, having your feet shod of the preparation of the gospel of peace. And by the way, you will not be an equipped Christian with all of your armor on unless you're witnessing. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, believing God, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil is shooting fiery arrows at you. And take the helmet of salvation, know you're saved, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. I can't go through all these things, but I want to say God gives you all of the defensive things that will defend you against the devil's attacks, and he gives you your weapon, the word of God, and prayer. And you know what? You can do these things, and there's nothing on there to defend your back. It's all frontal defenses. So you're running away and running away from God and going away from God and thinking, okay, it won't be so hard if I don't serve God. Doesn't work. Take up your equipment. You have all the equipment. Let me say, it says take the helmet of salvation. That means know you're saved. You know, if you aren't saved today, you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you have no defense against Satan. He can possess you. If you're born again and you have Jesus Christ inside of you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But that only comes when you're saved. If you're not saved today, I want to say, be saved today so you can be ready to fight in this war, because the devil's after you. And if you're casual, you're in the middle of a war zone and bullets are shooting everywhere, you're like, I'm just walking along, just relaxing, chilling out, doing my own thing. That's who gets shot. You've got to be serious about this war and intense about this war. And you've got to do all the stand and take all the armor of God. God's given you all that you need for victory. Our weapons are mighty, but not if you're not fighting and not if you're not taking your weapons and shooting. You're not praying. You're not in the Word. You're not using the Word. You're not witnessing. You're not living holy. God's given you the victory and given us all the weapons we need. You're in a war. Satan's trying to destroy you. He comes out but to steal, kill, and destroy. You fight back. You pray. You live in the Word. You live right. You start fighting back because you can have the victory. And God's given you all the tools to win. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the chance to preach the Word. We looked at a lot of verses today. You've given